Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL show, the Real Salt Lake show on KSL Sports Network. This is your host slash producer, Andy Munoz. We've got Alex Napolis and we've got Joshua Clark. And we're doing this one over the internet today because Real Salt Lake isn't that exciting. How are you guys doing? How's everybody doing? Alex, let's start with you, bro. How are you? What's new in your world?
Oh, man, everything's good. You know, just the usual, covering sports and covering RSL. Nothing too crazy.
Very cool. Very cool. Josh, what about you, dude? What's up with you?
Literally nothing.
Nothing cool?
Nope, because that would give that dude too much satisfaction. So,
I think you have like an acquisition meeting tomorrow, probably.
Yeah. Big business meeting tomorrow. Everyone keep your eyes peeled for June 1st. Big stuff coming back.
Very cool.
Can we just take a second and roast Alex for his lack of a microphone today?
Yep. Did you buy your own microphone or did we help you buy one? I can't remember.
No. I bought it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. He bought it so he can. That's okay. But also notice that he doesn't have the $120 webcam connected that I gifted him.
Right.
So, Alex, that's two strikes, bro. Okay. You're teetering on a third strike. So be really careful about what you say on this episode.
I just got home from work. I like had to hurry up and scramble and get ready.
Bro, if you need a minute to set up, dog, like, come on. You know, we're not that crazy over here.
I'll catch you guys next time.
Yeah. Let's see. My weekend was pretty fun. I went out and did some street photography, some POV stuff. Threw that up on my YouTube. It's been a lot of fun, man. It's been fun to stretch the legs and just get out there, walk, get creative, and all that good stuff. And then also, I shared with these guys that I was gonna start this diet, which I've started, and I'm down 12 pounds and like 2.5 going on 3 weeks, so not bad. Hey, bro, we're getting back. We're getting back. We're getting this winter coat off. So enough of the social hour. Junior producer's not here. He is running late from work, so we're going to start without him. Guys, let's talk about Real Salt Lake, everything in the realm of Salt Lake. There's a lot of news not necessarily coming out of the club, but just from other areas, other news outlets in having to do with Real Salt Lake. And I would like to let's just cover the first one. Let's get this one over with. David Ochoa being let go from his Mexican side club today. They did a official announcement, but it sounds like word on the streets of Twitter and streets of the internet. It's kind of coming down to that behavioral issue is what I had seen. Does that surprise us? It surprises me a little bit because I don't know. I see him a different way. And so when I hear news like this come out and they're parting ways with him, it's just not what you had in mind for his trajectory. So what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I think the best move for him initially was going to Mexico. I think going to Liga MX was going to help him develop more. And not only that, but get his eyes more from the Mexican national team, right? But now it's becoming a trend, right? You have the issues here with RSL. You have the issues now with San Luis. It's going to be really hard, I think, for a club to look at that and be like, hey, this is a guy that we want to develop. This is a guy we want to work with, especially now that that's two clubs in a row that he's been let go of for disciplinary reasons.
Yeah, and it's not like he's 19 anymore, right? So you have to kind of wonder, does he have someone in his corner that's giving him some bad advice? Is he just misunderstood? Like, I wish we could figure out what was going on because he has such a big upside, or had, right, that it's really kind of sad to see just the self-implosion that's going on right now.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, to Alex's point, it's like, you know, your track record, right? If other clubs I think clubs who are of stature, if they see that, they tend to avoid behavioral, even if it means that they would pick up some talent from it. I mean, we see that everywhere, right? You could translate that to like the NFL when they scout baseball, basketball, even. You're right. Josh, who knows what it is? If he's misunderstood or if he's unhappy, so he kind of, you know, displays like a shitty attitude to kind of get out of it. We got to remember that David Ochoa is still in his early 20s. And so I remember how I was in my early 20s and how I would deal with stuff. Maybe it seems like he needs a good mentor to really kind of sit him down and figure out what's going on. Because he is a talent. He's a talented goalkeeper. And he should be playing at the top level. I think he would be playing at the top level had all the drama, if it didn't happen here with Real Salt Lake, if he just accepted that maybe he wasn't going to be starting and just kind of go back to the backup role, I think his career would just be in a much better place today.
Well, and I don't even think that was the issue. I think it was a contract issue, right? There was some big requests being made and the other end of the bargain wasn't really being held up, which caused some attitude things to flare up, which caused drama within the locker room. So yeah, I don't know. I really hope he can figure it out though. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, personally, from the few times I've interacted with him, I like him. I just wish he would like figure it out and maybe seek the help that he needs or the guidance that he needs to stop making decisions that are, detrimental to his career. Cause now it's like, what's the next move? I'm sure he'll get picked up, but yeah, you can't have that dark cloud kind of hanging over your head where you're parting with clubs in distasteful ways. So that's the David Ochoa news. Still impacts us here at Real Salt Lake. We see it all over the social media between the fans kind of talking. Shifting over, we shared, or I wouldn't say that we were the first to share this news, but we were one of the first to verify it. And even that kind of, I wouldn't say it blew up on our faces, but there was people kind of going after us on Twitter asking exactly what we verified. But I want to let you guys know how verification from sources works in sports. Before sports outlets, whether it's small like us or even KSL Sports or even other like news entities, media entities, you got to have two credible sources backing up any claim that is on the internet, because realistically, anybody can start a Twitter account called @MLS News or whatever. Not saying that that's, I hope that doesn't exist. That was just like a bad example, but anybody could start an account and call it Soccer News Rumors, and they can start quote unquote leaking information. And if we just roll with that, then we look bad if at the end of the day, it's not credible. So what we did is we took some news that we saw about Shin Yashiki being investigated by the league, and we used our resources to basically ask within the club, Major League Soccer, if that article carried any weight. And our source says, yes, it's credible, but they didn't elaborate on it. So we verified that whatever that news was, even at a minimal level, was correct, right? That he was being investigated. And today, there was a comment put out by Shin Yashiki, and I don't have the quote verbatim, but it goes along the lines of, you know, he was investigated by the police, by Major League Soccer. There's no like conclusive evidence of any wrongdoing, or the investigation has fell flat, and that's all he has to say about it. And he was not found of anything criminal or anything that would hurt his soccer career. In fact, he'll still be playing in Major League Soccer. Did that fully translate over to what happened with the trade and why that went haywire. It could have. We don't have strong confirmation of that. But that's just something that we felt like we needed to just address. And you know what? I do have the comment here, so I'm going to go ahead and read it verbatim, and then we'll get your guys' thoughts here. So Andrei Shinyashiki, 2 hours ago, wrote, "I'd like to address the story that came out today. I fully cooperated with Charlotte Police and MLS in their separate investigations related to the incident, and no charges have been filed against me. I've also been cleared by MLS to play. I'll have no further comment." What we've been kind of seeing, and again, we can't 100% confirm this, but it almost seems like it was like a domestic abuse situation. At least that's what I've seen. What have you guys seen, and what do you guys think of this? Who would like to go first?
So I think it's good for the RSL end. Obviously, if a player is being investigated, you kind of don't want to bring that into the locker room. So the article that he's talking about was released this morning. It was from an actual Charlotte. From the actual Charlotte newspapers and whatnot, that he was investigation for, you know, the domestic violence, the sexual abuse, you know, whatever the situation was. And so that tweet was in direct response to that. Investigation's over. Obviously MLS cleared him. So, I mean, regardless, I don't think that's someone you just want to bring into the locker room. We're go back to talking about dark clouds, like David Ochoa. You don't want a guy with a dark cloud like that following him around, right?
Josh, anything to add, bro? You look like you're thinking over there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, I don't know if you want to consider it like a bullet dodged, right? But it is in a sense, because you never know which direction that could go in. It could get brought up again. Obviously, you don't want to trade for a player and then immediately find out he can't leave the state, right? Like, it's a bad move. And honestly, you have to wonder if, like, Elliot Fall in the front office knew, or if Charlotte was keeping it quiet before the trade happened, or if someone from MLS stepped in and stopped the trade because they knew what was going on. It's a very weird situation that you don't see often, but I'm glad, you know, it was resolved in a way for us, right? We still got some money. It wasn't a lot. I don't think the trade value equaled out to what he would have been for us. But we did offload Justin Merrim, which, you know, it is sad, but it is an aging player, which is going to give some of the younger guys some opportunity. And I think at the end of the day, that's a positive.
Yeah. And it was reported, well, obviously it kind of dropped out, and that was kind of the odd thing, right? Is Justin Merrim and other players were already saying goodbye to each other for maybe like 3 to 4 days before the club had released any news regarding a Justin Merrim trade. Am I wrong there? Did we receive an email from the media like the day of or the day after? Okay. So that was the strange thing, is we had seen on social media that they were saying goodbye to him. So obviously a trade was to be expected, and everybody had the details. In a trade that was initially going to be just an even swap with Shinyashiki, instead... turns into general allocation money. And the details of that is $100,000 to RSL in 2023 and 2024 for the grand total of $200,000. And if certain conditional milestones are met by Merrim in Charlotte, Real Salt Lake will receive another $150,000 in GAM in 2024. So there are a lot of fans who... you know, they look at this trade and they're thinking, okay, a solid $200,000, maybe $350,000 for a player like Justin Merrim, is that actually a good swap? A lot of people are saying it's a bad trade or a bad deal. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Would you have liked to keep Merrim around, or do you like to see that money, you know, spent in other areas? Josh, you just said it. It's going to open up the play for younger players. Alex, let's have you weigh in on that. How do you feel about this and the money we're getting?
It purely depends on what they spend it on, right? It purely depends on what comes in the summer. Right now, I think it's a good trade. I think it's a good move. You get the money. You give the opportunities for a guy like Bertin Jackson to step up, who, by the way, looks phenomenal. And you offload that older, aging player. Sucks because he's a veteran, yeah, but like I said, it just kind of depends now on what happens in the summer, what that money is used towards to bring in more.
Yeah, I like where your head at is with the trade for cash, and I have to agree with you guys. Opening the field of play for younger talent, and then being able to allocate those funds in different areas for Real Salt Lake. Although I can't say I love Justin Meerum. I love his personality and the veteran status that he brings to it. I don't think I love him as a, you know, football player. He's done some great things here. You can't discredit his career at all. He's a phenomenal player, but I think for what Real Salt Lake is trying to achieve, and well, I don't even know what they're looking to achieve, but in the direction that Real Salt Lake is going, we certainly need that younger blood, trying new things, switching it up, and not relying on the veterans so much. So actually, yeah, I love the move for Real Salt Lake. Would love to thank Justin Meerum for everything that he's brought to the club. But yeah, wish you all the best, dude, in Charlotte FC. And I mean, damn, like, hope his career goes on for a few more years, if that. Very cool. So let's cover the draw real quick. We're going to talk about a homecoming. Was it a homecoming? I can't remember if we had an away match prior, or is it back-to-back home matches?
No, we went to you're talking about Seattle?
Yes.
Because we went to Seattle, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
We didn't go to Seattle. We went to Vegas.
No. Are you the other Seattle game? Because we've already played Seattle away.
No. He was saying the game before.
Yeah, like the regular MLS game.
Yeah.
I thought you were just talking about Seattle, bro. No, my bad.
No, you're good. You know what? We didn't do a show after the Open Cup. Let's talk about that real quick, okay? The Open Cup happens. Are we impressed with Real Salt Lake barely skirting a win by the Las Vegas Lights and stoppage?
No. Am I glad we beat them? Yes, right? And it was an emphatic win at the end, but
yeah.
I mean, the Lights are the worst team in the western half of the USL, like, and we didn't really look any better, right? And I know, you know, I'm not even really mad about it, right, per se. Like, it was a completely mixed up roster, a new formation, right? So it was almost like a scrimmage for us, like a preseason game, I feel like, where it was, let's try something new, get a run out with like three in the back, kind of look at it that way. But, you know, when you look at it, for me, it's, are we taking it serious or are we not? And that's where I get hung up.
Yeah, I think historically with U.S. Open Cups, really any tournament, you could look at like Leagues Cup, even no, I wouldn't say the CONCACAF champions, because we took that quite seriously when Real Salt Lake wasn't it. But like, it feels like any Open Cup run, until you get later in, as you start progressing ahead and maybe there's a chance of like ending up in the finals, then not only do the fans start to care, but the club starts to care, and then you start seeing the, you know, the bigger names getting involved in the roster. This just looked like a match that, you know, Pablo was willing to go in and maybe just lose, you know, switch things up, try things. And had they lost, it would have been like, okay, whatever. Hey, we tried, back to the regular season. And man, it was a pretty boring match. There were like sparks of promise, you know, like, I liked what Diego Luna was doing. I think he was controlling the midfield. He was getting everybody involved. But there was just criticism from both sides saying that they liked what they saw in Diego Luna, but then also, you know, that they didn't. And anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge that game. Barely skirted by. with the win. I'm not too impressed either. So yeah, we'll leave it at that. We'll just kind of see what continues to happen. The next U.S. Open Cup opponent is after the Saturday match on May 6th versus the Houston Dynamo. We've got a match against Portland on May 10th, and that'll be interesting, right? Because like I said, as you begin to pick up steam there, then I feel like that's where the teams pull the big guns.
I do enjoy what I saw from Gavin Beavers, though. Without him and his performance, we would have been demolished, if I'm being quite frank. He put in a shift, man. He stood on his head. Some great saves. And then you have to give credit to Demir. Comes in. Well, he didn't sub in, but did he sub in? I can't remember suddenly.
No,
he started the game.
He went the full
100. Yeah. But he gets the two goals in stoppage, which was nice to see. But other than that, not everyone had a bad game, but a lot of people were just very meh, right? And really, without Beavers, it's a completely different conversation.
Right, and I think there's a lot of positives to take from that game. Obviously, Gavin, Jakobsen, I think Mekka and Nelly played really well once they moved him to like the midfield part of the double pivots, but a lot of positives, but at the same time, like, you cannot go into Portland playing like that and expect to come out with a good result, right? Portland's a much better opponent, much better competition, MLS competition nonetheless, and so they really need to clean things up if they do decide to go three in the back again, or, you know, whatever they decide to do in Portland.
Yeah, and then, of course, the injuries were a little scary as well. Now, nothing seems too serious as of yet, but, you know, that really could have gone sideways. Had we had some more serious injuries coming out of that game, especially in the defensive third, and then lost as well, that could have been an absolute PR nightmare for RSL. So I'm glad we got the result, and I'm glad we got out of there. I mean, not unscathed, but it could have been much worse.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like Las Vegas was, they were like tryhards, you know, and for good reason. Like, they were touting it as the biggest club game like in history for them, and good for them, but also weird stadium, all the gimmicks, right? Like, I get it, they're trying to make it interesting, fun for the fans, and you can't hate on that, man. Like, there's so many like little independent clubs that they take themselves just way too seriously, and they don't have a following, and it's not fun, and the soccer sucks. So credit to Las Vegas, man. Like, you've got little kiddie pools on the side, and you got people running on the field doing weird stuff. Cool. Like, create that culture, make it fun, attract new people who otherwise wouldn't want to go to soccer games. I think they're doing a cool job out there. All right. Okay. So we barely win there, and then we're ready for the Seattle Sounders. We're ready to host a pretty good team. A team that is historically poaches the culture of Real Salt Lake, and, you know, stealing ownership, stealing coaches, stealing players, stealing even like the club kits, some would argue, like the color schemes, you know, with the Bruce Lee kits. Sounders come to town, and our predictions, I think we had it. Man, I think it was split. I think we had some of us saying that we could win at home, or that we could draw, or that this would be a loss. I don't remember my prediction, but looking at the scoreline, I want to say that I probably chalked this one up to a loss, because I think that Seattle is a good team.
I mean, they're in second place, right?
Yeah.
You got to be pretty good to be in second place. And when you look down the roster, they're loaded, right? Almost any one of those guys could be a DP. TAM level players all over the place. You know, you have our old captain, Albert Rusnak. Club legend, Kellen Rowe. I love that people say club legend, Kellen Rowe, because not a club legend. We'll get back to that in a minute, though. You got Freddie on the bench. You know, Weibel up in the box doing his GM thing. You know, so you're right. It's RSL top to bottom there in some aspects.
RSL 2.0.
Right. But, you know, some of our better players, some of our worst aspects are there. So it's not like they're getting all the best out of us. But But you know, coming in, you're scared of this game, right? But then you realize Seattle hasn't won at the Rio Tinto Stadium, or sorry, America First Field, since what, 2011?
Yep.
So that gives you some hope, and I think, you know, I think it comes down to Seattle's just a soft team, man. Like, I don't think they can handle RSL at home. It's the weirdest thing. Like, it's a total curse for them. But I love it. I love that they just can't. They can't play here, and we can really can't play there, but it's good to be their kryptonite in a way.
It's weird, man, because I think I'm sure they view us the same way. It's just weird. And, you know, before we hop over to Alex real quick, we just want to explain that the reason for everyone seeing the Kellen Rowe post and us writing RSL legend is just a clap at Albert Rusnak. When Albert Rusnak and Kellen Rowe come to town, obviously, I think the respect would be, welcome home, Rusnak. But we don't do that because we're just petty. We don't hate Rusnak. We're over it. But the joke will live on because we always acknowledge Kellen Rowe when they come to town. And we leave Rusnak off like he never played here. So that's the joke. We got some comments. A lot of people were asking, like, yo, is this for real? What's going on? He only played 4 or 5 matches, whatever it was. I just wanted to clarify that.
And before we get into, like, the extracurriculars of this match, I do want to say this is a Seattle team that has a really, really good attack. Jordan Morris, Leo Chu, Nicolo Deiro, even Eber is a really, really good striker. But all credit to RSL defensively, dude. I think defensively, probably one of the best games we've played. Zach McMath had to come up a couple times too to save us, but he also balled out. Very good game overall defensively from the team, and that's all credit considering how potent that Seattle attack is.
And honestly, I think playing Scott Caldwell in that defensive midfield role was the right move. We needed someone to protect that back four and essentially have a fifth defender in this game. It did hurt us a little bit going forward, but we still had our chances. But that's what we're looking for, right? That's why fans outside of a 9 really want to see that elite 6 come in and really lock down that midfield for us. Obviously, we have some midfielders, but Ojeda, Ruiz, Loftelson, like, that's not their role, right? Their role is to advance, get forward. So I think, you know, Scott Caldwell having a good game and us using him the way we should really showed the necessity of filling that role for RSL.
And it's also crazy, too, because Scott wasn't supposed to play this match. Jasper goes down 2 days before, 2 days before the game. Scott Caldwell has to step up and get the start, kind of not really knowing he was going to start that weekend. And so all credit to Scott, all credit defensively. But yeah, I agree. Maybe we need to upgrade that just a little bit more.
Yeah. So you guys are obviously seeing bright spots and things kind of changing around. Seattle Sounders, a strong opponent. It's weird to say, like, they could easily win, but also when we take into consideration that they haven't won here at America First Field in 11 years, if I heard Josh right. Crazy stat. You know, you still put respect on their name, on their club. So let's kind of dive into that. Like, what were the bright spots for Real Salt Lake this match? And then what weren't the so bright spots? Like, was there anybody on the roster that you loved their performance and then not so loved their performance? We can get into that. And looks like Josh has something to say before we dive into that.
Well, I was just going to dive into that. I was going to take the lead on that one. Bright spot for me was Gomez, right? You said Seattle could have easily won that game. RSL could have easily won that game as well. I think it was very even. Seattle did not know how to handle Gomez. Kid was all over the place. He's really growing into this role. I thought Savarino looked good. You know, I'm even going to give props to Rubin. Rubin looked decent, right? He obviously didn't score, but this was probably his best match in 2 years. So that was a positive. Defensively, we were sharp, but you gotta give Vera a little bit of guff for that attempted bicycle kick clearance that he completely muffed. but otherwise, you know, he's also looking great. And I don't really, outside of us not being able to finish, right? there was no real blemish on the squad for me on that day. The blemish for me was the referee, as a lot of people have noticed and pointed out. I don't think anyone was happy with the referee's performance. I can't imagine Seattle's fans were happy with the referee's performance, even though I feel like they got the better end of a lot of it. Outside of the penalty, that might have been a penalty. I don't think it was, but you know, that referee, it's one of those that you don't understand how it can be that bad, right? And you wish Pro could issue apologies to fans and players, because it was about him all night and it was not about the play, and it was extremely frustrating to watch.
I would say that possibly the only negative of that night was that Pablo Ruiz red card. I think the officiating in this one had a lot more to play in the game than you know, most referees do. Usually referees will come and do that. They'll referee, but I feel like Snima Sagafi kind of dictated the game. There was a couple periods in the second half where we would go like 5 minutes without even playing a ball because Sagafi was intervening in one way or another. And that's a huge negative. I think maybe someone else in the center, things could have gone a little bit differently for RSL that evening, but big negative obviously has to be that Pablo Ruiz red card.
Which was not a red card.
Right.
Not a red card. In fact, we're going to get to the Kellen Rowe situation here in a minute, but this is a prime example as to why the fans were so on top of the Seattle players on the referee, because on that red card, Ruiz barely touched the guy, right? There's no foul there. Guy drops. This is the fourth or fifth instance of a Seattle player just go pulling a dummy and going to ground, right? Like, at some point, you get over that, and you could break a leg out there, and it could be obvious, and people are going to boo you because they get that irritated with the referee's performance, and it's just something you have to deal with. And yeah, not a red for me.
Yeah, it's just something that kind of boiled over throughout the 90 minutes, right? Because he had Lodeiro, you know, flopping all over the place. He had Leo Chu also trying to embellish the ref, and so it got frustrating because there was times where they would, you know, they in the second half, Sagafi was buying everything Seattle was selling, right? They were going down, Sagafi was calling it. They were going down, Sagafi was calling it. So they would, like, stay on the floor. They'd run around. There was even that one where Nicola Dedo, like, rolled out of bounds and rolled back in bounds to make sure that the game stopped. And so that's where the frustration comes from. Obviously, you know, we don't ever want to boo an injured player, but because of the way that the game was trending, because Sagafi let it boil to that point, that's why the fan base was so upset when the Kellen Rowe situation happened.
Well, and to be completely honest, unless you see the leg snap, right? Unless you see an arm snap, unless the player's not moving, fans don't know if they're truly injured, because 99% of the time they roll around like they're hurt, they get on a stretcher, and then 3 minutes later, they're running back on the field, right? So
it's been a while since I've seen, like, the magic spray whipped out, dude. Remember, like, the magic spray, the magic water, whatever. I feel like I don't see it that often in matches anymore, dude. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, you got to understand, like, you know, these guys are professional athletes. They're running out there. They can get tired. So, like, honestly, you if a player goes down to ground and they're maybe kind of, you know, not in Kellen Rowe's, I'm not saying Kellen Rowe's faking an injury, but if some players can afford some time to kind of rest up and give your team a breather for a minute or so, and especially if they run out with the waters, dude, like, that's best case scenario, right?
Yeah, and it's absolutely part of the tactic, right? Yeah. And we get that, but for Fry to go in the media and blast RSL fans, which isn't the first time he's done it. He hates us, we hate him, it's fine, right? Like, I would never want him to play on this team because I think he's a dork, right? But that's fine. That's my opinion of him. That's his opinion of us. But then for the fans, the Seattle writers, to come after RSL on Twitter and try to have this personal pity party because they're Seattle players and fans, like, dogs. And then they pull this whole, like, well, you guys complain, but you can't just turn it on us and say we do the same thing. It's like, no, we absolutely can. This is soccer. Every fan is mean. Even Raimondo tweeted back at one of them and was talking about how when he broke his nose, they were saying some horrible things to him to get off the field, right? It's what fans do. So to get all triggered and emotional and sad about it and get on Twitter and complain, like, that just...
It comes with the territory. To me,
it says that you're holier than thou, and that's why, that's literally why everyone hates you as a fan base, is these little instances. And I stand by that, right? Like, these are the things that fan bases that no one likes do. And
yeah,
I hate Seattle. It's fine.
Well, and then, I mean, just look at the dynamic of the game. You know, Kellen Rowe goes down, what, 80th-ish minute, 83rd, 82nd, whatever. RSL at this point is building up a lot of attack. They have good opportunities. I think Yakison a couple minutes earlier just blasted one barely over the bar. We're building attack. We have momentum. We have the opportunity. And it feels like Seattle's just milking the clock, wasting time, and the referee's not doing anything about it. So that's why, too, when Kellen Rowe goes down, it's just in the dynamic of what's happening on the field. And like I said, in those like 5-6 minutes that we just didn't play, the attack, whatever attacking momentum Arsenal kind of had, just kind of died and fizzled out because of how long, you know, the game was stopped. And again, it just felt like a time-wasting tactic, unfortunately.
Yeah. Also, it wasn't made up on the back end, right? We only got 3 minutes of stoppage in this match,
which is insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
When the league average seems to be about 7 to 9 minutes. So you could kind of tell, like, yeah, it was bad officiating, and tempers are going to flare, and people are going to say some things. And even though RSL Show is under the KSL Sports umbrella, we are a podcast. We are the Blog Boys. We get to say we're free to say some stuff on Twitter, and we did about the refs, and made some people quite upset. And it's funny that they choose to get out of all the things, man, they get upset over the refs. Listen, this game was poorly officiated. Somebody said referee abuse. Yeah, dude, if you deserve it, if you're a horrible ref, you deserve an earful. There were, let's see, 4 yellow cards for RSL. One turned into the red card, so that's 5 just on RSL side. And then you got 3 yellow cards on Seattle for 8 total. That's not even a common practice. You're lucky to get between 1 to 3 a game. Even in the most craziest of situations, maybe 4. But to kind of, I don't know if he was going for the record of most cards pulled in a game, but it is ridiculous. It's poor, and we hope that, you know, pro referees would take a look at this and at least look at it from the way that everybody else is seeing this and not just try to protect one of their own.
No, and I love that you bring up the yellow cards, because I want to ask you guys a question. If you're Pablo Mascherini in that moment, in that second half, you're building on the attack, you have all these attacking spurts and you have opportunities to go get the goal, but you have guys like Ruiz, Oviedo, Glad, who have been committing challenge after challenge all second half, you as a coach, do you maybe take off those players to avoid a red card like Pablo Ruiz got, or do you leave them on to continue that attack?
You know, that one's a coin toss, right? Because the referee is showing that he has a pattern. You know, you're risking a second yellow for these guys, or honestly, you're risking putting on fresh legs and getting straight red, right? So it's really a coin toss. The referee is showing time and time again, like with the Ojeda yellow card, for example, you don't have to touch a guy to get a yellow, apparently. So your hands are tied, right? And in that situation, there's really nothing he can do to mitigate or, you know, prevent any kind of issue like that. It's unfortunate, because when referees decide to take the game into their own hands like this, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, there is nothing you can do. Like, you're expecting the referees to behave consistently. And I don't even know if the word is behave, but it's almost like operate consistently throughout the league, right? Like, this isn't something, I mean, the last time that we had seen something like this was Ted Uncle.
It's been a minute, yeah.
And it's just weird. Like, you can really just kind of pinpoint it down to like, hey, when was the last time that something like this happened? And Pablo did come out in training today, and he commented on the poor officiating. So he knows it. Everybody else knows it. Some of us just call it for what it is, and that was, it was bullshit. It was a bullshit performance from the referees. And I know that a lot of fans tend to say that when things aren't going their way. But I mean, I was fine with the 0-0 draw at home, right? Like, we have a tough stretch at home. Seattle's a good team. I'm cool with the draw, but if the officiating is that poor, you got to call it what it is, and it was bullshit.
Well, and even as a Seattle fan or a Seattle player or member of the coaching staff, it wasn't going well for them on the referee side either, right? I can see both sides being upset at the referee, and it's fair. But what I really kind of want to dig into is, how do you guys feel about the how RSL fans are now being known as the meanest fans in the league, which is something that Fry said again, but I've heard it from multiple players throughout the years that RSL fans are vicious and mean, and, you know, no one wants to play here because of that. Like, what, how do you guys feel about that? Because personally, I wear it as a badge of honor. I think it makes it harder to play here. I absolutely love fans getting after players. I think it's necessary. And honestly, like, if a player can't handle it, that's on them, and they need to be mentally tougher, right? So I want to know what you guys feel about this.
And no, I 100% agree. You know, for so long, this was the fortress, right? This was the one of the toughest, if not the toughest place to play in Major League Soccer. And I think in order to get back to that status, we need the fan base to be mean. We need the fan base to make it a fortress, right? And if it takes a little bit of taunting, a little bit of, you know, whatever you want to call it, then so be it. Like Josh said, wear it as a badge of honor. Let's do it. Let's make this a fortress again.
I will say this, talking from experience, though, dude. Like, today's trash talk is softball compared to the vicious, just the stuff that was said, and how aggressive and gruesome the South End used to be. Like, it is Disney PG rated today, and back in the day, like, I mean, a player could have gone up there and fought every single South goal supporter, and it would have been warranted. Like, it would have been like, yeah, dude, he just said something about your grandma. Like, go for it, you know, go get in a fist fight. Josh, come on, you got to talk to that dude. Esmer.
Oh, absolutely. And it wasn't just the South goal. It was Section 26. It was Section 35. It was Section 34. We loved giving it to him. And I was going to throw in, obviously, there's the caveat. Please don't be racist. Please don't be homophobic, misogynist, anything like that. But get after him, right? Get after him smart. Use the smart digs that, you know, don't just go, you suck, right? That doesn't do anything. Look up their stats, right? Just find something that's going to get to him, and it'll get to him, and it'll affect their performance. And there's really nothing better than that moment you see the fan base get into that player's head and ruin their evening. There's nothing better. I could lose the game, but knowing we got in that guy's head and gave him an evening, it's one of the best feelings as a fan.
Yeah. It's a benefit of the seating in America First Field. You're so close. And yeah. Alex, you had something more to add, bro?
No, I think Josh just accidentally pushed the button, but we're good.
Gotcha. So what I'm going to say is the only highlight of the night that the RSL show tweeted out, which is kind of sad, is Brian Vera just kicking the shit out of a soccer ball into a young female's face. We hope she's okay. It's like, I'm not laughing about it. I don't think it's funny. It hurts, dude. I was on the North goal just during warmups one time, and I like threw my hand out to try and stop a ball. And you got to remember, the balls in MLS are inflated. It feels like a stone has just been hurled at you. And so to have Brian Vera, this muscular dude, thighs the size of I don't know what, just kick the living shit out of this ball, and you're 15 feet away and your face stops it? My God, dude. Like, the girl's got a chin, dude. I would have been out cold. I would have died. I would have needed to be stretched out. I would be opening my lawsuit right now. I'd be missing teeth, dude. I'd be making millions of dollars, and I would be doing it all in a Brian Vera jersey signed by everybody on the team, because I would be asking for the world. And instead, this girl who appears to be like late teens, early 20s, took it like a champ.
Yeah, and obviously, like, you don't want to see guys booting the ball into the stands, right? Like,
yeah.
There was a New York player that did it a few years ago.
That was out of frustration, though, right? But Vera was a clearance, yeah. Like, just, but still.
Yeah, and
still.
Yeah, and he probably wasn't aware at the time of how close he was to the sideline, I'm assuming. But you still never want to see the guys, like, clear the ball out like that, right? But yeah. It does happen. It's sports. It's whatever. But I did appreciate that he recognized what happened immediately, ran over to check on her. I hope the team got her a kit, you know, took care of him for the rest of the night. But yeah, it is unfortunate and it does not feel good. I've also been smacked in the face by a ball a few times. It's horrible. And she did take it like a champ, so props to her. But hopefully the team can learn from this and be a little more aware of where they're at on the field. Not have that happen again in that aspect, right? If it's a shot or whatever, that's one thing, but a clearance is a little tough to swallow there.
Yeah. Alex, you had something to say, dude?
They did give her, he went over after the game. I watched it. It was very nice and sweet. He got the extra jersey, signed it, the whole shebang.
I feel like if it would have hit Alex Napolis in the face, bro, like you would have been crying, dude. You'd still be crying right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Those things hurt, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Those things hurt.
Calling for the magic spray.
Yeah. for people who maybe think we're just like wussies or something, dude, no, like a major league soccer ball that's inflated to just the right pressure kicked by an athlete hurts, dude. Like, hurts. It's not like an indoor soccer hurt. It's not like a chubby kid like me playing on the IT team and kicks the soccer ball at you and it hits you in the stomach. It's not that. This is a paid professional athlete, monster, just a muscular dude, just hitting, ripping this thing. Oh, dude, I feel so bad for her, man. Glad that she was okay, because that could have been far worse.
Absolutely. Had she not been looking at the ball,
oh, dude. Like that, or just took it square on the nose or something. Like, I mean, yep. Ideally, the side of your face is not the place. I mean, you don't want to get hit in the face at all, but the man, like, if she would have just been looking at it, dude, like, that's a broken nose, maybe a cut, scar, and yikes. Okay. Anyway, it's a 0-0 draw for Real Salt Lake. Take the 1 point at home against Sounders. And now we just move on to the next one, the club's favorite saying. We've got the Houston Dynamo away match. And I just kind of want to know your guys' thoughts on that, how you guys are feeling. Are you guys feeling confident going into this one? And also, what do you think we might see lineup-wise? Oh, Alex, before we go into that, dude, I'll let you take that over. Diego Luna goes plays for the Monarchs, gets a brace. My initial, my reactionary thought, and I like Diego Luna. I like him. I think he's creative. I think he's great. But it made me think, is he just MLS Next Pro good? Is he USL good? Or, you know what I mean? Like, is he just good at that level? Or does he need more minutes to break in with Real Salt Lake? We've seen a few glimpses, so tell me your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think he needs more time with the first team. If he's able to do it in the Next Pro in the USL, there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to do it in MLS, right? I just think he needs to have more minutes with the first team, more MLS minutes, in order to truly, truly give him a chance to see what he can do.
He also commented today that he liked playing in like that 10 role. And because he was talking about it, he had some comments to say. Josh, I think you have more of those comments.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, he needs to play at the 10. That's his spot. That's where he's comfortable. And that's exactly what he said today. You can tell he's frustrated with the lack of minutes. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're not playing with a 10. And that's extremely unfortunate. It makes you kind of wonder why we picked him up if we knew we weren't going to play with a 10. But I wish they would figure out a way to play him at the 10, because I think it could be very, very good for RSL. because I rate this guy and I want him to succeed.
Excellent. Very cool. Dude, I think that's a really well thought out. And I think collectively our soul show, you know, we get on players, right? Like we don't usually agree, but I think that this is one that we could agree on with everything that you just said. Cool. So Houston Dynamo on the horizon, the Dynamos of Houston. By the way, let's just, before we get that, there's three teams in Texas. There's Austin FC, FC Dallas, Houston Dynamo. Out of the three teams, guys, who are your, like, which one's your favorite? If you had to pick one, let's say you move to Texas and you need to pick one, which team are you supporting and why? Go ahead, Josh.
I'm going straight bandwagon in Austin FCing it. You know, they're the new guys. They have the nicest stadium. They have the best support, the coolest jerseys. No offense to Houston or FC Dallas, but, you know, the FC Dallas stadium, yes, it's soccer specific, but it's already looking like a junior college stadium, and I don't love their kits. You know, it's kind of lame. They do have the Jason Christ history, but I'm not a big Dallas guy. And then Houston's just always the reborn earthquakes for me. Don't love it, right? One of my least favorite players, Brian Ching, played there. And I just don't love Houston either. So I'm going Austin FC with the cooler jerseys. And that's literally how I'm basing my my decision here. Who's got the best kit?
All right, Alex. Can I guess yours, Alex? Can I guess who you would support?
Go for it.
I look at you, bro, and I say, you just, your face just screams FC Dallas. No?
I'm going Houston, bro. I even wore the orange today for Houston.
Wow. All right. Tell us why.
Just because they're a rough team, you know? They've had a lot of rough years, and for some reason I just tend to levitate toward teams that were rough and are now showing glimpses of life.
Very cool. This is crazy. This is like the first time that we've all been split. I'd go FC Dallas, dude. I would go FC Dallas, man. I think I know you mentioned some good stuff about like the stadium kind of falling apart, feeling like a pretty I don't know, just like a team that's kind of falling. Come on, like it's basically the RSL of Texas. they just have more options there, right? But what I like what they do with the roster, man. Like they're able to get players like, you know, Paul Arriola, Jesus Ferreira. I don't want to throw Sebastian Legette onto there because I don't think that's very impressive. But just to having like a just have like an attacking duo to have an identity like that is pretty dope. And they're one of the most historied, you know, started in 1996. Is the logo kind of dumb? Yeah. Are the jerseys stupid? Yeah. Do you guys remember the AdvoCare sponsor that took like 80% of the jersey a few years back?
Absolutely.
Horrible. But I don't know what it is about that team. That's who I'd go with. So anyways, all right, Alex, we're going to throw this over to you, dude, the Houston Dynamo fan. Houston Dynamo till he dies. Give us your preview for Real Salt Lake. Give us a little rundown of how you think things may go for RSL down in Houston.
It's going to be a tough game no matter which way you look at it. Houston right now are playing really, really good at home. They got four straight clean sheets at home. They've probably the best home start that they've had ever in their history since they moved to Houston. But RSL, you know, they're showing life. They're playing a lot better than they were at the beginning of the year. They're doing a lot. They're just playing a lot better. They're playing a better brand of soccer, in my opinion. But regardless, I think it'll be a tough matchup no matter which way you look at it. A draw, I think, would be obviously the best. You want the 3 points, but I think a draw is the realistic of what we're looking at for RSL in Houston.
Yeah, you know, to kind of go over what you said, so the results over their last few matches are pretty decent. And yeah, let's just go back to April. So, you know, the 1st of April, not the best result. It's San Jose. They get beat 2-1, but then they go on the very next weekend to play against LA Galaxy 3-0. Then they draw with the New York Red Bulls 1-1. Then they go to Miami. They play Inter Miami 1-0. whatever, they get a win in their U.S. Open Cup versus the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Doesn't really matter. But, yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a side that's actually getting results. And if we go back a little bit to the beginning of the season, yeah, I mean, there's a few draws and there's even a win, you know, way back in February against the Dynamo. So it looks like, you know, this is a team that also has been getting, I feel like I've just been seeing more of them lately on the highlight reel. Especially with Ache, that's Hector Herrera for those of you that look like Josh. I just feel like, yeah, they're a pretty decent opponent, but I'm going to kind of maybe one up you, dude. And I think that Real Salt Lake pulls a win off in Houston, man. I think that we're due for it. You know, one factor, and I hope that he gets more minutes, is Jakobsen in this last match, dude. It was refreshing. I tweeted it. It was refreshing soccer, right? To see this guy not only have the creativity, but the control on the ball, the pace on the ball, and then also not being selfish. There were times where he would just kind of like lay it off for somebody to take a shot. But unfortunately, they wouldn't take a shot. They would just like dribble it out to the corner or pass back. I think that if we try to keep the roster somewhat young and a little experimental in this one, I think we've got a shot. I think Real Salt Lake's got a shot.
Yeah, I honestly think if we play like we did against Seattle and some guys a little more selfish, we could get a win in Houston. I don't have a doubt.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting matchup. That's going to be Saturday, May 6th. Kickoff is a little bit early at 6:30 Mountain Standard Time. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes from that match. And then also, I just have to mention this because it's on their schedule. After Houston plays Real Salt Lake and whatever which way the result goes, their Open Cup opponent on Wednesday, May 10th is against Sporting KC, which dude, the SKC, man, my goodness, bro, I've never seen them this hurt. And I just love it so much.
To have their players, you know, go out and interview the way that they did after that match.
Oh yeah.
Something's bad. Something's wrong with that club. It was so tough to watch those interviews.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got players saying like, I don't know what's going on. I've never seen the club this way. You had Roger Espinoza saying, Roger Espinoza kind of defending the coach, Vermees, saying, well, it's not him playing out there, it's us. But there's a lot of similarities, whether you like it or not, with Real Salt Lake and SKC, in the sense that they held on to a lot of like their veteran players, and a lot of those players are still starting and getting minutes. And look at the results. You could argue that we are maybe closer to that identity than like a club like LAFC or even a club like Seattle. We're close to that, right? And so yeah, they've got to mix something up. And for as hopeful and as you know, good things might be looking for recently with Real Salt Lake, between like wins and draws, there's still a little piece of me that kind of wishes that we would be experiencing what SKC is. Obviously, it's not fun to cover that, but you need a shakeup and you need players to just start calling out coaches and all of that. So I feel like we reset the clock, and it's so true. The last record, what was the stat? Like 20 something matches. I can't remember that we were winless. Well, when we do get a win or we get a draw, it seems like Real Salt Lake fans were also quick to forget. And it's like all of a sudden things are okay and we're happy. But in reality, we're sitting 10th in West right now, and we're not that far off from being an SKC.
No, and I think this month, the month of May for RSL, is going to be a really difficult month. And it'll really test to see where our depth is. It'll really test to see where the confidence of the team is. You know, so many factors because we have obviously the away trip to Houston this weekend. Got a midweek U.S. Open Cup to Portland. You got LAFC at home, and then you got another trip to, or another game against Portland, and then you got Colorado, and then you got another mid-game week, and then you have Minnesota, and then you have another mid-game week. So there's so many mid-game weeks this month. It's going to be a lot of soccer and a lot of tests for ourselves to see where we really are as a team.
Yeah. Josh, am I wrong to say that, man? Listen, dude, I feel like we've switched roles, bro. I feel like I'm like Debbie Downer Eeyore over here. And I know that lately you've been a little bit more optimistic. So do you have a problem with like what I've said? Because we've actually gotten that feedback recently that we're so negative and we're like just wrong. So Josh, am I wrong to say what I just expressed?
No. And we actually talked about that a few weeks ago, how you win a game or pick up some results and suddenly everyone forgets, essentially, kind of like what you said. But at this point, one loss and everyone's back on the pissed off train, right? But you do have to give credit when credit's due, and I think that's what we're doing. You know, we showed well versus Seattle. We looked absolutely abysmal versus Las Vegas, and that's just the way it is. And as we say, you know, we want to see results string together. You know, a result here and there is fine, but I want to see 10 straight games with a result, right? And then I'll be happy. But as of now, we're still in 10th place, like you said, right? We're still under the playoff line. It's still not acceptable. But if they can turn it around, we've also said this, we'll eat crow and say, cool, we turned it around and we look good. So let's pick one, right? Let's pick one going forward. Let's see what we can do. And Houston's a great test for this exact thing. And honestly, the next five games is a great stretch to see how good RSL really is.
Very cool. Well, with that, I feel like it's a good time to wrap up. Unless, Alex, you have any closing thoughts to it, anything else to add or to say on today's episode?
No, just make sure to go like, subscribe, and follow our YouTube page because we'll be posting a lot more content on there.
Yep, the RSL show. And I guess before we wrap it up, let's go over some of the league results. Is it week 10? Man, week 9 or week 10? Yes. Week 10? Okay, last week, right? 10. Last weekend. So you've got Nashville beating Atlanta United 3-1. Inter Miami, surprisingly, or not surprisingly, getting a result over Columbus. And I believe that was scored by the same player. Dude, it was Leonardo Campana with a brace. A goal in the 7th minute and a goal in the 41st, playing the 9, dude. I literally said this last episode. The people getting the highlights, guess what they're playing as? They're playing as the 9. The people who are getting the league attention, who are ending up on the IG stories, the reels, guess what? 9s, scoring goals. And, dude, that dude looks solid, bro. Leo Campana, solid dude. Very promising stuff out of Inter Miami. Orlando City getting a result over LA Galaxy, over my beloved Chicharito. Alex is also shaking his head. I think he's got a deep love for Chicha as well. dude, a really funny picture came out of that match, dude. Or Chicharito's just pulling his, he's on the ground. Let me just paint a picture for you guys who are driving the target right now. He's on the ground on his knees and he's got the top of his shorts and he's pulling them and he's stretching them. And like, you can see like his underwear and all that and his thighs or whatever, but his shorts are so stretchy that he's pulling these shorts up, like literally almost to his face. And it's actually just one of the best pictures to come out of MLS in a while, dude. It's so funny. New England and Cincinnati, they draw 1-1. DC United got a 3-0 win over Charlotte FC. Toronto beat New York City FC 1-0. Chicago, New York Red Bulls 1-1. Portland got a win against St. Louis 2-1. Damn, dude, St. Louis, man, they were incredible in the beginning of the season, but now they're getting that humble piece of pie like Josh ordered for them. Austin and
the meat grinder's just setting in is all.
Yeah. Austin and San Jose draw 2-2. I love the Earthquakes, man. I always say it every match. I don't know why. Montreal beat SKC 2-0, bro. I think one of the worst teams in the league, huh? Are they pretty bad too, man?
Two of the worst teams in the league going head to head.
Oh, dude. Yeah. You know what they should do?
Shout out.
MLS should, like, you know how they have some, like, the one-off Sunday matches? You know how we saw El Trafico on Sunday?
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like, week 10, it'd be fun if they just, it's like the worst, whoever's in the worst, they get to play on that Sunday and just be highlighted. Tune in for, like, the worst soccer that you'll ever see. But anyways, Montreal gets a 2-0. Happy for Aaron Herrera. I don't even know if he's on the roster playing. I don't know his situation. Is he playing?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah, he's starting.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, he's starting.
Cool. Either way, if he wasn't playing or playing, I don't care. I'm just happy for Aaron. God, I miss him. I miss him so much. Real Salt Lake, obviously, Sounders, 0-0 draw. And then Vancouver, Colorado, 0-0 draw, which I think if we're paying attention to Colorado a little bit, I know we're going to obviously be playing them soon. I'm curious as to where they are in the standings because I always feel like we kind of sit close to them.
Yeah, they're right by us.
And so
they're still below us.
Yeah, so a draw is actually a great thing, right? That's always – feel like that's the team to keep an eye on, don't you think, Josh? Like, however they kind of tend to do, like, we're just kind of right there with them usually.
Absolutely. We're very alike in a lot of ways, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Colorado wishes they were Salt Lake, man, honestly.
Except, you know, in 2021 where they finished first in the West and we barely made it into the playoffs.
Yeah, that was nuts, dude. And then Minnesota FC Dallas, a match on Sunday, highlighted match, 0-0, just draws, 0-0. And for context too, there were a few matches that ended 0-0, goalless, right? And it was just the matches towards the end of the night, and then Sunday also. So a few match previews too. If you guys are curious, Saturday May 6th, obviously, we're playing the Dynamo, but some fun matchups that you guys want to maybe keep an eye on, or just, I don't know, switch to and from. I think LAFC and San Jose will be a fun match to watch. Kind of rivals, kind of not, but kind of. It's really complicated. That seems like it'd be a fun matchup. Also, I'm just kind of looking down the list. I don't really see any others except for Portland. Austin might be a little bit fun to watch. LA Galaxy in Colorado, I think that'll be a fun match to watch as well. And, oh, man, dude, Sunday, May 7th. Guys, Seattle Sounders are playing Sporting KC at 2:30, day game, dude. I might tune into that one just to see the Sounders just kick the living trash out of SKC. That sounds like a lot of fun.
That's the Sunday game this week?
That's the Sunday game, May 7th at 2:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Guys, tune in. All RSL show listeners, listen, if you're listening to this, if SKC just gets it handed to him, please tag the club and then especially tag Cavincio and just, like, send your condolences. send your condolences because they need it.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk crap too much because they could turn it around against RSL, and then that'll be the most horrible feeling on the planet.
You got to have a little bit more faith in that, dude.
I just get scared.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, we appreciate you guys watching, or not watching, but listening. We do podcast episodes weekly. Sometimes we do two a week. Just really depends. Also, shout out to Alex Napolis for doing his first solo episode. You did a good job, dude. Nice work. He put out a solo episode. You guys go back, listen to that. Let us know in the reviews what you think of him. Also, shoot us a DM. Let us know if we should keep intern Alex or if we should fire him. If there's enough fires, we might just do it. So
my 1 year is right around the corner, so this is my contract renewal.
What, dude? One year? Oh my gosh, dude. When's your 1 year? What month? What day?
Next month, June 1st.
Dang, dude. Yeah. Wow. All right. We still got to send the general allocation money, the GAM, dude, over to El Show RSL.
That's true.
Yeah. Cool, guys. Hey, we appreciate you guys listening. The RSL show, catch it on all of your favorite podcast apps, but also go check out kslsports.com. There's a lot of cool writers. There's a lot of people who write about the Real Salt Lake team that we also love, that we all love. Did I say that right? That we also love. And also, while you're there at KSL Sports, make sure to check the schedule, because every pre, mid, and post, our friends over at KSL Sports are always doing the pre, mid, and post. So go listen to them, and we will see you guys on the next episode at RSL Show on all social media.